This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Stephen A. from Hollis, Queens, and the Michael K. Show starts now. Holla at your boy, Michael, Don Juan, and Peter.
Thank you, Stephen A., and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday, June 17th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg were apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours. Well, the other 19 and a half, that is certainly your responsibility, but I'm guessing with a big Islander game today that you're probably doing a pregame, right, Don?
That's right.
What time is that?
7:30.
So oh, yeah.
We've got the big fella from 6:30 to 7:30, and then you from 7:30 to 8, then Chris King and company doing the Islanders. Big
That's
game
right.
three. Pivotal.
No, this is it's big because they're home. And they've played well at home. They won 4 of their 6 games at home. And, you know, Joe Torre said it, the odd number of games are always big. Game 3 to take a 2-1 series lead. No, it's big.
It is big. Also big, we're giving away money. 98.7 ESPN is giving away $1,000 a day over the next week. So later in this hour, not much later, everybody, and again in the 5 p.m. hour, be listening for the cue to call. Be ready to call in at 888-987-ESPN to claim $250 cash. You can also cash in by listening to DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg in the 6 and 7 a.m. hours. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. Now, what is the cue to call, Anthony? Just me saying it's time to call? Okay, beautiful. I love it. What I don't love is when greatness is imperiled by injury.
Mm.
And that's exactly what we got with the news about Jacob DeGrom. He was his usual brilliant self yesterday. He pitched 3 innings. He faced 9 batters. He struck out 8 of them. The only guy who hit a ball was Anthony Rizzo, a deep fly ball to right field. That was it. But he comes off the mound after striking out the side in the 3rd inning, and he walks right down the runway. That's never a good sign. And he's accompanied by the athletic trainer. That's never a good sign. And we find out that it was something up with his shoulder. Now, this is on the heels of something up with his elbow, which is on the heels of something up with his side. And this guy is as good a pitcher as we have seen in our lifetime, and he's exhilarating to watch. But I've thought about this a lot. What he does is really unnatural. No one does this. The only pitcher that I could think of that threw this hard, this consistently, was Nolan Ryan. And Nolan Ryan was built way different than Jacob DeGrom. So we hear all these glowing stories about he threw 25 pitches in a row over 100 miles an hour. And that actually leads to his greatness, Don and Peter. But I think it could also eventually lead to his downfall. I don't think the body is built to handle that for the long term. And this guy's a good enough pitcher that he doesn't have to do that all the time. He could take something off and really give his body a break. The body is not built to generate that kind of torque and speed, pitch
right.
after pitch after pitch. And Don, even if it's not a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, it's a 93-mile-an-hour slider. He is putting maximum effort and force into everything, and I worry because you know it. I've told you guys 100 times. I love to watch him pitch. I love to experience greatness from afar. Love it. I love watching him pitch because it is poetry. But the thing that makes him great, Don, do you think it's going to ultimately be the thing that stops the greatness?
Well, I think so, just based on what we're seeing. And I thought about Glasnow's comments about how because he wasn't able to use the sticky stuff, he had to generate more torque and throw harder for him to be able to get the spin rate necessary for him to be able to match what he was doing before. And he woke up the next day and muscles in his arm that he never felt before were in pain because he was pushing himself too hard. And what happened? The next start, he ends up tearing his UCL because he was overexerting himself to try to match what he was doing with the sticky stuff. I look at DeGrom, who apparently there's no evidence he was ever using it. But I think what he's doing, Michael, is pushing his body to every limit possible to achieve the greatness that he has. And that's fantastic. But the problem is that your body can't sustain it. And I'm a Met fan. I want to see him win a bunch of Cy Youngs, Michael, but ultimately I want to win a World Series. You know what? Winning a game, you know, 5-0, you going 6-7 innings with 14 strikeouts, you know, and having an earned run average near zero, to me is the same as going out there lasting 6 innings, giving up 4 runs and winning the game 5-4. I want to see wins. You know, and I think a great pitcher conserves himself during the game, during the season, so that he can be there for the whole year. And I'm just wondering, you know, he was brilliant for 3 innings. But can you be a little less brilliant and maybe not hurt yourself and go 6 or 7 and be there for the World Series, be there for the postseason, and then when you need to generate what you got to for the big game, it's there for you? I just think he's pushing himself too hard, Michael. That's what it seems. They're not finding anything wrong with him. But every start, it seems something sore, Peter. So I'm wondering if he's so lights out that he's pushing his body just too far.
How often does he pitch in a way where he shows you more finesse without that level of power? Is that something that historically he's done?
No, he's always been a hard thrower. But the strange thing, Peter, he's the first pitcher I've ever seen. What is he, 32, Don? That over a five-year period from like 27 to 32, his velocity has gone up. I mean, again, against all rules of Mother Nature. I look at this and it's almost like, you know, you both like NASCAR. If you're going to have your foot all the way down, you're going to hit a wall. I mean, you've got to slow down every now and then. And, you know, we'll talk about what Gerrit Cole did yesterday. And Gerrit Cole threw like, I don't know, 4 or 5 pitches, 100 miles an hour. 4 or 5. So he can throw 100 miles an hour. Jacob deGrom throws 25 of these pitches in a row. I think it's a recipe for disaster. Every time he goes out there and throws that hard, I get worried because I just don't think the human body could take it.
And listen, it's amazing to watch. You know, yes, it's showing the graphic right now. First pitcher since at least 1901 to strike out 8 batters in 3 perfect innings to start a game. That's wonderful. That's terrific. But you know what? Maybe if you strike out less and give up a couple of hits and maybe a run, then maybe you can go 7 or 8 innings and not have to miss a start and not have us panicking that he could be hurt long term. You know, some of the great pitchers, Michael, they always say, if you're going to get to them early. Because early, maybe they're not showing all their best stuff because they want to be around for the 7th and 8th inning. Because they realize they can't be the best pitcher in the history of baseball every single batter. Sometimes you got to lose the battle to win the war. You got to conserve yourself. You got to conserve your energy. Right? Do you think Kevin Durant was all out 100% for all 48 minutes of that game? No, he probably would have never made it. So there's going to be some times where maybe you lose a little battle here, or you miss a shot, or you're not sprinting down the court quite as fast as you were, you know, earlier in the game. You've got to know what your body's capable of doing. And as great as Jacob deGrom is, Michael, I don't know if you can go through this. Is it good for the Mets to go through this?
You know, it's funny, you know, reading social media after the game, you know, people saying they shouldn't have sent him out there because of the problems he had with his elbow. This is his shoulder. It's not his elbow. I don't blame the Mets. So the Mets did some strength test on him after the game or, you know, after he came out of the game. Everything came back good, so that's a positive sign. But until he gets stuffed into that MRI tube, we're not going to really know. But it would be so ironic and sad that his greatness ultimately leads to his downfall. And there was a story I read last week that, to me, really jumped out at me. It was somewhat concerning. You know, Jacob deGrom had Tommy John surgery 10 years ago. And this story said that Tommy John surgery, the surgeons tell the people that get it, it's good for 7 years. And after that, you're susceptible to it happening again. Because the, you know, kind of a MacGyver thing that they do on your elbow will wear out. Now, this isn't an elbow issue. This is a shoulder issue, which is more concerning to me. But it's unbelievable because this guy is so great. And under no circumstance do you want to see him you know, have to take a seat for a long time because he's hurt. And I hope that's not the case. And, you know, a lot of the doctors out there that write, well, they automatically say, well, no matter what the MRI shows, you got to shut him down for a couple weeks. Well, why? What if the MRI says he's fine? The good thing about Jacob DeGrom, he's very in tune with his body. When the elbow issue cropped up, he said, it's nothing. He knew it was nothing. He wasn't as sure of that about this. You could hear the uncertainty in his voice in his press conference. But, again, you cross your fingers. You know, forget about the Mets being in first place. I mean, we're experiencing something that fans of baseball for 100 years have never seen. So this is one of those things that you tell your grandchildren, I saw Jacob DeGrom pitch. You don't want it to end. You don't want to end it with an injury.
Well, do you remember yesterday, Michael, when we found out – well, not when we found out. When the Mets lineup came out and you guys said – or I guess it was you, Michael, mentioned that DeGrom was starting, and I sort of reacted like, already? Because – I say that to ask the question, do you look at the Mets and go, if he had to come out of his start on Saturday, regardless of how he's feeling in his next start – we talk constantly about people resting unnecessarily – but was this like sort of an obvious situation where even if he's feeling a little bit better, you skip this one and bring him back on the next one?
I mean, you could say that if it was his elbow that took him out of this game, but it wasn't. You know, they did their due diligence. This is their meal ticket. So under no circumstance do I think they push him to a place where he could hurt himself. I think he hurts himself because of how hard he throws. It's just impossible to keep that up. And he's done it for a couple of years now, but every year his velocity goes up. Now, you don't have to be a doctor to go, well, listen, somebody's getting older and they're throwing harder, and there's never been any kind of insinuation that he's doing anything improper. In fact, as Don said earlier, he doesn't have a high spin rate at all. So I don't know. I mean, maybe he's just a freak. Maybe he's a freak of nature. I don't know. But a freak of nature, the body's going to give out at some point. Jim Cotto always used to tell me, if they really wanted you to throw that hard, they'd have your arms around your hips, because lifting your arm over your shoulder 100 times a game, it's not natural. It's not a natural movement. And this guy's doing it with such torque and force. We've never seen it before. As Don gave the stat before, 1901. We've never seen anything like this before.
At least 1901, because they probably weren't keeping stats that accurately, you know, at the turn of the century. I'd love to talk to a pitcher on DeGrom's level, you know, like a Pedro, like a Clemens, you know, somebody where you could say, when you look at the first three innings yesterday, did you see that and go, oh, I could have done that, but I chose not to because I didn't want to hurt myself? Like, are pitchers capable of doing what DeGrom does, but they choose not to go, you know, hell-bent for leather every single start because they're going to end up not lasting long. They're going to end up hurting themselves. Like, is he intoxicated by these numbers? Does he feel the pressure to constantly match what he did before? I mean, it's okay. The great ones have bad outings. They have stinkers. And you hope the team can win. I'm just wondering, this all comes down to him feeling he needs to be this way because he's got a whole history of not getting run support. He's got a whole history of losing games he doesn't deserve to lose because he doesn't get the support. How many 1-0 losses? How many 2-1 losses where he's the one that drove in the one RBI that they had? Right, he is the definition of how wins don't matter because he's been, for the most part, on his in his career on a lousy baseball team. So does he feel like, I've got to go out there and I've got to do everything humanly possible to make sure that I win this game? And I think he's pushed himself way too hard. He's got to learn how to conserve himself. I love what he's doing, guys, but I'm a Met fan. I want to win a championship. And how are they supposed to win a championship if this guy pitches so well he hurts himself? I would rather have a very good Jacob DeGrom all year long competing for a world championship than an ungodly Jacob DeGrom who won't be there in the biggest moments because he's an MRI tube or he's too sore to start a game because he actually hurt himself by pitching.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many warring factions in your head. If you're the Mets, if you're DeGrom, you know, this has been so great for DeGrom. He won 2 Cy Young Awards and maybe should have won one last year. If the spin rate didn't go up exponentially for Trevor Bauer. And then this year, he's putting together a season where he's actually getting wins, too. And the Mets ended up winning the game yesterday, going for a 4-game sweep over a good Cubs team tonight. And, you know, we always battle Met fans that call in, you know, why are you waiting for the other shoe to drop? Well, it's kind of like the sword of Damocles hanging over your head. This would be the other shoe stomping on your skull if you lose Jacob DeGrom for any extended period of time. And it would be terrible for baseball. Forget about just the Mets. You know, you want to see greatness on the field. You don't want to see greatness on the IL. The fact that Mike Trout hasn't played in 2 months, it stinks. If Jacob DeGrom can't pitch, it stinks.
But isn't it amazing in an era of load management and sometimes players not maybe giving a full effort that we might be talking about a pitcher that is hurting himself because he's trying too hard? Isn't that kind of a breath of fresh air? Right?
It is.
Who
it
doesn't
is.
Run the first base? Who can't play back-to-back games? You know, so but ultimately, you got to find that in between, right? Where you give it your best effort, but best doesn't necessarily mean exerting yourself beyond what you're capable of doing.
Well, here it is. 98.7 ESPN is giving away $1,000 a day over the next week. Be the first caller right now, right this
now?
Second at 888-987-ESPN. To score $250 cash. Again, that's 888-987-3776. Be listening every day through next Wednesday in the 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours for your chances to cash in. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. And go spend that money at a local establishment that has been struggling during the pandemic. Now the world is opening up. Have a night on us, maybe at a restaurant. Spread it around. Spread the goodwill. That's why we're doing this. And you should all know, if you listen to the show, I don't fib. I said we're going to give it away early in the 2 o'clock hour. We're going to do this tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So 5 days, five radio days is a week in radio land. So we're going to do it today, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I was talking to a couple of kids from NYU today. And one of them actually won the net tickets the other day.
Oh, wow.
And they were there to see Durant's 49 points, and they couldn't have been happier that they won the tickets. And so profusely thankful, and said, we wouldn't have been in that building if it wasn't for your show. So we're big on the NYU campus, guys. I just want you to know that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Those Nets fans are going to be dialed in tonight at 8:30.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very interesting situation here. And Don, you're still going with your gut that the Bucks get tonight?
Yes.
The line is currently Milwaukee -6.
So it's going up.
Just a little bit. Other people seem to agree.
I take that. When you take the, shouldn't that be your hardwood?
Excuse me?
I don't know, man. What if Harden's feeling better tonight?
He's not. He's not. I mean, he's just physically, he can't.
I don't know. It's hard. That team's a tough team. I agree with you. I think in the end they will win, but I don't know. You could be up 9 the whole game. They hit a couple threes at the end. That's the hardest thing about betting basketball.
It's the hardest thing about betting.
But in basketball, it gets erased so quickly. Like, you can get to a certain score in football where you can almost literally just turn off the TV. I mean, take Andrew's Sixers. I hate to bring up a sore subject.
Ooh, my.
But you texted him last night, did you, Michael?
You didn't.
No, I didn't. Andrew, did I? I did not, right?
No, you did not. You did not.
You guys have taught me to be a better person.
Where does that rank, Andrew, for all-time lows for you in sports?
For the Sixers specifically?
Sure.
I would say it's number 2 behind the Kawhi shot. Only because the finality of that one, that was a Game 7 buzzer beater to knock us out. In a year where I thought we could win a title. This is right behind that. That was...
So what about all of Philly sports?
In all of Philly sports, I still think the Eagles losing to the Bucks in the 2002 NFC Championship is my number one loss.
Who are you taking out?
And I think the Kawhi shot is number... I don't know. I got to think more about it. I think that's number 2.
You still win the series and it won't be
right.
A big deal.
Right, but I don't think I see that happening right now, but it's
possible. I'll tell
possible.
You how big it is. I wanted to reach out last night to find out how Luke was doing. His son, who's been under the weather.
And Andrew responded, who's Luke?
No, and I didn't. No, but I didn't. I just knew when I wanted to do it is when I saw the end of the game. I said, I can't do it now. I just can't.
Yeah, you couldn't even check in.
I couldn't check in.
But
Michael,
Heyman,
usually the old Michael.
I would have, you know, really annoyed him. John Heyman just tweeted out, DeGrom saw one doctor today who saw no issues. Mets are sending the NL MVP favorite for a second opinion as they understand the significance. But according to John, so far it's a big relief.
But I'm not a doctor. And I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night either. But can you just, like, work too hard where you hurt? There's pain, but it's not pain because you ripped or tore or damaged anything. It's just your body saying, yo, cool it a little bit. Calm down here. Or does every pain, every ache mean something's wrong?
I've always been of the opinion when something hurts, there's a reason it hurts. It doesn't just hurt for no reason.
But you've worked out where you stretched it a little bit too much and you're sore. Is it that? Can it be that? If you don't find anything wrong, I'm asking. I'm not telling. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But is he exerting himself to the point where his body's sore because it's not supposed to do what he's doing? As consistently as he's doing it.
It's strange. It's really odd. And they have to get to the bottom of it because you can't let this guy beat himself up because he's so great. I know that sounds weird. And as Don mentioned, in an era of load management, this guy wants no part of it. But sometimes they call it playing with government or management, where you just have to hold back just a little bit and not go full throttle. But would he be the same pitcher then? Would he want to do that? Would he want to experiment with that? And the thing that gives the Mets some time is that they've been so dominant. They're 10 games over 500. They have a big lead in the National League East. Honestly, I saw the Phillies, and although the Phillies swept the Yankees in two games, they're nothing impressive. Their bullpen is shoddy. Bryce Harper's back went out again the other day. D.D. Gregorius has some kind of gout in his elbow. So you have Ronald Torres, who's nowhere near the threat of Gregorius, playing shortstop. I'm sorry. That's not a team that I'm worried about. If the Mets and the Braves, their bullpen is shoddy because of a little bit of amount of money. They didn't re-sign Mark Melanson. So I don't know if they're going to catch him either. Washington, I don't think, is good enough. And obviously the Marlins are still a couple of years away. The Mets have some breathing room here because they have such a lead, and they don't even have their regular players back.
Listen, there's two things at play here. Yeah, we're talking about DeGrom because he might be the best athlete in New York, and there's something wrong. So this has to be the lead. This has to be the story. But, yeah, let's not ignore the fact that whatever adversity gets thrown at the Mets, they spit at it and they move on. They just keep winning, keep finding ways to win. They've had more injuries than I think any other team in baseball, yet they still win. Jacob DeGrom's got to leave after three innings, and they still win. You know, and the Padres are good, won the series. The Cubs are good. They could sweep the series today, and if not, take three out of four. They continue to win, and they're in a position that this is their division to lose. But with all that said, they're going to need Jacob DeGrom healthy if this team is going to win a championship. They're just going to. So there's two both could be right. You could be concerned about DeGrom and have this be a major story and still be one of the best teams in baseball and one of the best stories in baseball.
This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, please drink responsibly. Peter, any reply? You have any private jet information that you want to give us?
I had a conversation. Still a bit pricey. Still a bit pricey.
So not even your incredible level of celebrity is getting you any free ride?
Not yet, Michael. I mean, give me a little bit of time, okay? These things don't happen overnight. And by the way, I'm not like, this isn't my number one goal in life.
What's your number one goal in life?
I thought I was the snowflake. That's a tough question. But this is not it. I just wanted to throw it out there and see if something came my way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something did come my way
because of it.
I got a lot of heat yesterday.
Thanks to Michael.
I know.
When you have a Pied Piper, you're able to get that kind of derision.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate it.
Congratulations. Is it Carmelin or Carmelin?
Carmelin.
Carmelin Linaldi. What a great name.
That's a very good name.
And she's from Toms River, and she just won $250. Carmelin. I love the name. Carmelin Linaldi. Go spend that money, Carmelin. Go to the shore where everything's all right. love it.
Yeah, you're not far from Martell's. Go to Martell's.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have a big announcement soon regarding our beach bash. It's coming back, everybody.
Well, that's a feel-good story.
It is.
Because we're not back until there's the bash. Like, I'm feeling better, but I'm not going to feel like we're all the way back until we're together at the shore.
Where everything's all right.
That's right. You and your baby on a Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, how about the little Clippers without Kawhi winning a game? Up 3-2. That's big league, and Paul George stepped up. These have been, I agree with what Peter said yesterday. All the big stars are hurt. These are entertaining playoffs, man. Because we're this deep into the playoffs, we have no idea at this point who's going to win the NBA championship. And isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah, and it hasn't been that way in a long time.
All right, let's take a brief timeout. I think it's time to towel off, especially you, Carmelin. You got $250 now. So we'll take a deep breath, and we'll have some fun. Take your phone calls. You know the number. It's Michael Kay. It's Don Marco LaGreca. It's Peter Elliott Rosenberg. And it's you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael Kay Show.
Rick DiPietro. I want you to hear something. So
computer's not working, actually, I was told.
I want you to listen to this exchange between Peter and Andrew in the middle of a live read, Rick. Here we go.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
What do you think of that?
I think that's going to be a highly seeded drop. It's some drop madness.
He doesn't even have anything to say. He's so embarrassed right now. I don't know if he can recover.
It was a bad 2 days for him. I can't believe Peter let Dave talk to him like that.
I would punch you right in the nose.
Honestly, Dave, what's your name? Rick?
The Michael Kay Show.
I got a manzillion.
On 98.7 ESPN.
It has been a rough couple of days for our good friend Peter Rosenberg. But we finally have good news, everybody. Good news.
Yeah, for me too? What's that?
I think for everybody. SNY Steve Gelbs is reporting that it's a great sign Jacob DeGrom is out on the field throwing right now.
How about he not do that?
Well, if he can, he should.
Can someone show him like a bed somewhere comfortable to sit down for a minute?
He's not a Fabergé egg, okay? He'll be fine.
Is he not a Fabergé egg? Because the last 5 days suggest differently.
No Fabergé egg can throw 23 fastballs at 100 miles an hour.
No,
I also have tonight's New York Mets starting lineup, which is brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. And for those that don't know, the Mets are going for the swept. And here is the starting lineup for the Mets. Jonathan Villar at third base leads off. Francisco Lindor, the shortstop, will bat second. Hitting third, first baseman Pete Alonso. Dominic Smith in left field cleans up. Batting fifth, the catcher is James McCann. Billy McKinney in right field bats sixth. Batting seventh, playing center field, Kevin Pillar. Jose Peraza at second base will bat eighth. Batting ninth and pitching for the New York Mets, it is Marcus Stroman. And that's tonight's Mets starting lineup brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's Tully time. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew Irish whiskey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Now, maybe this has been addressed on the broadcast, and I'm obviously not locked into the broadcast because I'm doing my own. I have a simple question. So Kevin Pillar has been unbelievable coming back from getting hit in the face with a fastball, no surgery, the whole deal. And I've seen him bat. And he doesn't have on, the Silence of the Man, Silence of the Lambs mask. But then when he's on the bases, he does. Well, has that ever been explained?
If it has, I haven't heard it. The only thing I can assume, it must be a sight issue.
Like he doesn't wear it because he can't see when he's hitting?
Yeah, because I would think that because you have something in your, like, it's a mask, right? So there's something that your eye can catch before you would see the ball. Right, I'm assuming it has something to do with him picking up the ball, and then when he's on the bases, he wears it. But where he needs it the most is when he's batting, right?
Yeah, that's
what I don't get. He's not going to get hit in the face. Well, he could get hit in the face with a with a spike or a get kicked, or in a ball can hit him, but certainly not with the same velocity as a pitch. It has to be a sight thing.
If anybody knows the answer to that, because obviously I read everything, I've never seen the answer to it in print. Maybe Gary, Keith, and Ron have covered it. I'm not quite sure. Or Howie and Wayne on the radio side. It doesn't make sense to me. So even if it's a sight issue, then he shouldn't be playing if he needs that to protect himself, because, you know, what danger does he really have on the base paths while he's wearing, you know, the mask that would, you know, scare Clarice? So just wondering. So
yeah, it is spooky.
Yeah, it's very weird looking. It's time right now, I don't know if you realize it, for the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. I wonder, all the fans that really piled on the hatred of Gary Sanchez, I'm not going to criticize them, because he played very, very badly the last couple of years. I mean, when you hit 147, even
not
if it's a 60-game season, it's not what you want exactly, Peter. So, but now, he's actually doing great. And he pinch hit yesterday.
Did it again.
And had a 2-run pinch hit home run to win the game for the Yankees. Coming up the bench, and he just crushed it. Absolutely crushed it into a parking lot beyond the left field wall. I think it was 440 some odd feet. And this guy is a different player now. Who knows what happened? He was lost last year. He was lost for the first, I guess, month and a half of this season, to the point that he essentially lost a good part of the catching job for the Yankees. Didn't pout, went to work, and now he has averaged over 230, and that doesn't seem great, but it's almost 100 points more than what he had last year. And his last 16 games, hitting 340, 5 home runs, 11 runs batted in. He's raised his average from 174 to 228. So I thought it was over 230, but he did make it out the last time he came up. But that was huge, and he's been great. So that's one part of yesterday. The other part is Gerrit Cole got the start. Every time he starts, he's going to be closely scrutinized. So the first time he starts after Donaldson throwing him under the bus, he pitches very well against Minnesota and gets the win. Yesterday, he goes 8 innings, gives up 2 runs against a really, really good offensive team, and he gets the win. And you can actually see a difference if you watch the game. He was constantly rubbing up the baseball. At one point, he was rubbing the baseball against his pant leg just so he could get some kind of a grip on the ball. And this guy is so smart. He's not just a physically talented player. He changed his repertoire yesterday. He did. What he did was he threw more changeups than he's ever thrown in a major league game. I think it was 20. He still threw very, very hard. He threw over 100 miles an hour. In fact, in his last inning of work, he threw the second fastest pitch that he's ever thrown in his life, in his major league career. 8 strong innings. He struck out just 4. Walked 1 through 104 pitches, 70 of them strikes, gave up a couple of home runs, those were the runs, and just 4 hits. So if you're worried, and you have a right to be, because he seems like he's right in the middle of the sticky stuff situation, this guy has great stuff. And I don't think you have to have an incredible spin rate in order to win games in the major leagues. Now, one thing to note, though, unlike the Minnesota game, Don and Peter, his spin rate yesterday was way down, about 200 RPMs, which is a lot. That's a lot. And you could see, because he threw harder than any pitch except for one in his life, it doesn't affect velocity. But one thing I said about changing the way he pitches, if you watched yesterday's game, he stayed away from the high fastball. That's the fastball that benefits from a better spin rate, because it stays right there and doesn't dip into where the batter will swing. It rides. It doesn't go up, because it's impossible to throw a pitch that moves up. But when you're at the plate, a ball stays on its plane because of the spin rate. It seems like it goes up, and it's very difficult to hit. He stayed away from that pitch. He uses fastball, working inside, outside, changeup. As I said 20 times, he had a pretty good slider as well. And Don, Any forecast of this guy being a shell of himself? Obviously premature. He's too smart. He's too talented. He will somehow get it done.
Well, because I remember when we asked, who was it that we asked? It was one of our baseball. It was either a Buster or, I don't know, I'm vegging on the name anyway. I had him
Jeff?
As our number one. Yeah, Jeff Passan.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Peter, like, what's going on with the show?
This is a problem. I don't know the difference between Europe and Latin America. Yeah. Don doesn't know who Jeff Passan is.
Well, because I wanted to get out that Brett Topol's got a podcast called PT Talks Baseball. He's also got a book out about the Mount Rushmore of New York Mets.
Who's Brett Topol?
Huh?
Who is this guy, Brett Topol?
I just told you who he was.
I know, but who is he?
Well, he just texted me.
Okay. Well, that,
I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know how much he weighs. I told you he's got a podcast and he's got a book out.
Okay, I just wanted to know his background.
Well, I just told you.
You just said he wrote a book, but what's his background to get a book?
And he's got a podcast.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know, Michael.
Michael, this is as far as you're getting, okay?
Now, he just told me that Gary Cohen said that it's because of his peripheral vision.
Okay.
All right.
While he's batting.
That's why Pilar is wearing the mask. But anyway. We had Jeff Passan on. Jeff said that when I asked him, is this contract bogus now? He's like, no, he's still one of the best pitchers in baseball. I mean, nobody's disputing that. But obviously he was able to find another level because of this stuff. But nobody ever suggested all of a sudden he's going to become Rick Reed. You know, he's a good pitcher. And I think that he'll find a way to, you know, you hope it's not going to be what happened to Glasnow, where he ends up hurting himself finding that way, but he's a good enough pitcher to be able to find other ways to get guys out. And as you said, the spin rate was way down. He still went up against a team that's probably just as good as the Yankees. They're battling for the same position in the standings, third place, and he went eight innings and only allowed two runs. So, you know, clearly he's still an outstanding pitcher, and nobody suggests otherwise.
Yeah, that was a good sign for the Yankees. That's a good win. So they win the series. And one thing they haven't done a lot of this year, Don, you've seen it. They have a problem sweeping, which would be a good thing to do against, you know, a team that when you came into the series, they were ahead of you. So you just keep knocking down pins and hope that you get a strike at some point. And that's exactly what the Yankees are looking to do. That's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. Now, this just came from Woj. Don't know if you guys saw it. Rick Carlisle, who led Dallas to the 2011 NBA championship, informed Mavericks owner Mark Cuban today that he will not be returning as coach this season or next season. He had 2 years left on his contract. He's been there 13 years as Mavericks coach. Is this, I mean, Donnie Nelson, who has pretty much run the team forever, he quit. Now Carlisle quits. Is this about Doncic? Because Doncic said he still wants to sign his extension with the Mavericks. Now, is he telling Cuban exactly what he wants, or are these guys just walking away?
Well, when that was suggested to Cuban, he flipped out.
Right.
So you want to look at that as, well, there's no way it's true, or was Cuban being overly defensive? Listen, if it's about him, Michael, then the owner can't say it is. Right? So he's going to protect him and say, oh, that's outrageous. That's an outrageous statement. So I would lean it probably is because of him.
That's a big shakeup. I mean, that team should have won that series. And all of a sudden now everything has changed. Don Nelson is the guy, Donnie Nelson, Don Nelson's son. He's the guy who got them Nowitzki and Doncic. He's the one who engineered the maneuvers to get those players. Those are the two best players in franchise history, and all of a sudden he's gone. That's a huge, huge development.
I mean, he is the franchise the last God knows how long.
Here's what Jay Will said today on KJZ. Ready for this? This will shock you.
The Dallas Mavericks. He let go of Donnie Nelson. There's obviously stuff happening. There was a co-general manager that Mark Cuban came out and said, there's no way I let a guy like
Shadow GM
make decisions like that. You have things going around about Luka. Is he really happy? Don Nelson brought him in. Love Donnie Nelson. What's happening to that relationship? Now, look, earlier in the year, I said New York could be a potential opportunity, and people killed me for it.
For Luka.
For Luka. It's feasible. There are feasible scenarios where you start looking at where will Luka want to go and build
if
it doesn't work out in Dallas.
Excited. You can't get me this excited this early.
Well, New York isn't the only option. But I will say there's a lot of rumblings, and Mark Cuban needs to put water on that fire.
Can you imagine Luka here?
I mean, in one day, Dallas is completely shaken up, and supposedly Doncic is personally shaken up by the exit of Nelson. And on that same day, we're hearing from New Orleans that the Williamson family is not pleased with Zion in New Orleans. And we already know. We saw the weird messaging from Lillard right after his playoff loss. So, guys, we're going to find out, even though no one's deal is up and it's not straightforward, aren't we going to start finding out how valuable this season was under Thibodeau and what the power of Leon Rose and company is? I think it's going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, you've now made this a possible destination. If these things had transpired even last year.
Oh, it means nothing last year.
It wouldn't mean anything because no one would play for the Knicks. Now, William Wesley is locked into everything. Leon Rose seems like he's represented everybody. So he has tentacles throughout the NBA. Thibodeau is a widely respected coach. And there you have it. So now at least you can dream. We're allowing you to dream. I don't know if any of those guys are going to leave the place that they are. And another thing that he mentioned, Peter, Scott Brooks leaves, gets fired from Washington. Bradley Beal's a possibility. He's entering the last year of his contract.
Was Brooks a big part of Beal's happiness there?
Brooks is a huge part of Westbrook's happiness. I mean, they were together in Oklahoma City. He loves Brooks. But all the stories I read said that Beal liked him, but it wouldn't be a deal breaker if he left. You know, it's not like he wanted him out, and he did like him. It could be a deal breaker for Westbrook, who loved him.
Is Westbrook still interesting?
I don't know with his age. Yeah, I mean, that's talking out of both sides of my mouth because, you know, Chris Paul's interesting. He's 37. Westbrook's younger than him, but he's a different player. I don't know if Westbrook fits with what Thibodeau does.
Well, Westbrook lives a lot harder in a basketball sense than Chris Paul does. You know what I mean? The kind of mileage Westbrook puts on his body every night is different. He plays the game at like 1,000%. He's flying. He's getting 15 rebounds a game. He's doing everything. So it is a different sort of aging. But to your point, Michael, we don't want to make that same mistake again where we go, oh, I don't know about Chris Paul. He's too old. And guess what? He's competing for a championship.
And one thing we didn't mention yesterday either, and it was kind of shocking to me, Julius Randle finished second team All-NBA on the same team as LeBron. That's what people thought about him this year. That's why it was so shocking how poorly he performed against Atlanta. But now Atlanta is showing they're pretty darn good. You got beaten by a pretty darn good team. Now, I do have one Philadelphia question to talk to Andrew about. Andrew. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening to Carlin today with Bart Scott on the Bart and Hahn and Carlin show, and he's destroying Ben Simmons, destroying him. He said, this guy doesn't want to shoot. He can't shoot free throws. How do they build a team around this guy? He was really disparaging about Simmons. Do Sixers fans feel like that?
I think last night was a turning point for a lot of people because Ben Simmons gets killed, I think, by a lot of the national media, and Sixer fans are oftentimes forced into a position to defend him because he's their guy. And I think last night, a lot of people, myself included to a certain extent, that have defended him, it's become like an untenable position because Joel Embiid is playing on one leg. He's 37 points last night on 12 of 20. He's getting to the free throw line. Sure, Embiid had a bad fourth quarter. So, like, and Ben Simmons is the second best player on the team. He's got to see that and recognize it and step up. Four shots for the entire game. I think in the fourth quarters of the last two games where the Sixers have had these meltdowns, these last two fourth quarters, I think he's taken like one shot combined. Like, if that's your second best player, then you're a fake contender. You're not a real contender for the title. Wow. And so I think a lot of Sixer fans have kind of had an awakening with Ben Simmons in the last two games of this series, especially. And look, his legacy isn't set in stone. They still have two games to turn it around. And if he shows up and is a different guy and is more aggressive offensively, then okay, we'll change our tune again. But at this point in the series, defending Trae Young is not enough. You're the second best player. You're a three-time All-Star. It's got to be more than that. You've got to try offensively, and he's not doing it.
And I also was reading a lot of stuff that people are coming down hard on Doc Rivers, and they said, you know what, he won that championship with the Celtics. He's just not a good enough coach. He never did anything with the Clippers. And now it looks like Tyronn Lue is going to lead them to an unlikely upset, even without Kawhi. And now this, where everybody thought the Sixers were going to just roll over Atlanta, do you have doubts about Doc Rivers now?
Not, I mean, yes, a little bit. But to me, what's happened to the Sixers in this series is more of a player issue and an Embiid injury issue than it is a Doc issue. Like, these are the things that's happening with the Sixers now. This happened under Brett Brown in the previous regime. Like, there are clearly some personnel issues within this team. The thing that Doc did, I think he gave away game one of this series by sticking Danny Green on Trae Young for half that game. It took him, you know, the fans are screaming. You have Ben Simmons, you have Matisse Thybulle. These guys are first and second team all defense. Trae Young is killing Danny Green. What are you waiting for? And by the time he made the switch, it was too late. So I think he gave away a game in the series. Last night, he played the all-bench lineup, which drives Sixers fans crazy, for a good chunk of the end of the third and beginning of the fourth, trying to rest his starters, which I get because you could see that Embiid was gassed. But while that all-bench unit was out there, Lou Williams went off, and the Hawks came back and made a game out of it. And Doc just waits too long sometimes, I think, to get starters back on the floor. So he's – look, when you have an 18-point collapse followed by a 25- or 26-point collapse in back-to-back games, everyone's at fault. And Doc is certainly part of it, too.
I mean, Doc's legacy has some question marks.
We have some update, an update on DeGrom. Here's Luis Rojas, the Met manager, who gives us that update.
Both doctors had the same prognosis from the imaging. So it just shows as a normal shoulder that a pitcher would have, and just no concern, you know, nothing like we believed last night after he was initially seen by our trainers here. So today, just from our medical experts, our doctors that we trust, you know, that's what we got.
All right, so what are the next steps with DeGrom?
He went out and played catch. Yeah, I believe he already did it. But the approach still, we're just going to take it day by day and just see how things are going to be. At this point, so today we're not thinking of an IL stint or, like, to do anything. So we're just going to go day by day. He's going to play catch and see how he feels, and, you know, we're going to keep paying attention to it.
All right, and finally, will he start his normal time in 5 days?
I can't say that right now. The day-by-day approach is just, I can't say that. He is going to do his in-between start routine, you know, which is the playing catch after he throws like he did today. But we're still day-by-day. I mean, we want to make sure that everything's fine. I mean, we've already gone through different things because this is not the same thing. It's been three different things. So we want to pay attention to this thing now and on a day-by-day approach. So, you know, that's what we're going to do. Our medical staff here, our trainers, they're all over it. And Jake as well. You know, he's in it. So we trust everyone, including Jake, you know, on how he feels and also, you know, the results and the prognosis that we had from both doctors earlier today.
That's great news. For what it could have been, that is great news. And I don't think they'll start him in 5 days. I think they'll probably just skip him once, maybe not even put him on the IL. But better safe than sorry with somebody so valuable to a franchise. So that is good news. Islander fans, listen up. The Islanders are home against Tampa Bay Lightning for Game 4 on Saturday night. And get this, 98.7 ESPN has your chance to be there. So be listening all throughout this hour to score two tickets to Saturday's Game 4. That's right, all brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. This hour, two tickets. Maybe Rick DiPietro will call in, win the tickets, and take me Saturday night.
Save DiPietro!
Also in the 5 o'clock hour, we're giving away $250. And today, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, here's what we're doing. 250 in the 2 o'clock hour, very early in the 2 o'clock hour, 250 in the 5 o'clock hour. And for DCR, the show you can hear from 5 to 8, 6 o'clock hour, 250, 7 o'clock hour. For this 5-day stretch. So tune in, and with our show, tune in early, stay here the whole time, and you can either win in the 2 o'clock hour or the 5 o'clock hour. Now let's take a look at this day in Yankee history, brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. The Harp brings you back to 1941 and the Yankees' 8-7 loss to Chicago. Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak is extended to 30 straight games when his seventh inning grounder takes a bad hop off Luke Appling's shoulder. Yankee Clipper's fortunate hit also breaks the team record for hits of 29 consecutive games previously shared by Roger Peckinpah in 1919 and Earl Combs in 1931. That's This Day in Yankee History, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. I will take some phone calls. What was that, Donnie?
I said I'm sure it was an error.
Oh, so you're calling the whole 56-game streak into question.
Oh, there's no question. It would never happen today.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure there were times where, listen, it was the 40s, Michael. There's no replay, no technology. They just give him a hit. No, I'm serious. You don't think there was hockey players back in the day? Oh, he's a great player. I'm sure he got an assist.
Now, let me ask Andrew this, since he put this together.
Is this a game
at Yankee Stadium, or was it in Chicago?
I don't know. I'll have to look that up,
because if it's in Chicago, Don could take his theory and shove it.
No, I'm not being that guy. I'm just saying, Peter, think of the logic. There's no replay. Games aren't on television. There's no scrutiny. I'm throwing this out for hockey, too. There was allegations that, like, Maurice Richard in Montreal, he was on the ice. Give him an assist. Because there was no replay to see if he touched the puck, was the second or first guy to touch the puck before the goal was scored.
Especially in hockey, where an assist is like breathing.
I'm just saying.
How about this from Rojas? And this is according to Disha Thosar of the Daily News. Rojas says since the Mets don't know the source of DeGrom's recent injuries and the team is not ruling out that they derived from hitting, they might tell him to refrain from swinging his next time at the plate. Now, that's troubling, and one of the troubling things, why would he say that out loud and let the other team know?
Yeah.
Can I be the one person to say this, and I don't care, I know I'm a yo-yo, I know I don't belong, I'm a loser.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe the tone is too casual. We at some point, it's like the way I felt about the Nets. And the fact that at some point, we're probably not going to see them all on the floor in the playoffs, because just take a hint. Oh, it turns out his shoulder's nothing. It's nothing. His elbow, it turns out it's nothing. His side, it turns out it's nothing. But it's all these little somethings. So whether it's officially an injury or there's just so much going on with him that it's wear and tear, can we just take it super easy for a second with DeGrom? Because I don't care if someone says it's different or not. The proof is in the pudding. When he had to get pulled out on Saturday, he probably shouldn't have made his next start. I don't care if it's a different injury. You know, compensation could lead to different injuries. And I just feel like we're going to act like all's fine again. Oh, glad he's out there in the field chucking it around again. How about a few days?
They're looking for something, because this isn't right. So they got to figure this out, because Peter's right. This is not going to end well. Either he's got something wrong with him that's messing with his mechanics to cause all these problems, or it's what we said at the open of the show, that he's going to full bore every at bat, every pitch, and his body's catching up with him. So something's got to be addressed.
Now let's take a brief timeout. We'll talk more about it. 1-800-919-3776. And Andrew did check it was at Yankee Stadium, so we can't really shoot down Don's theory. Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Now, Tim McMahon, who covers the NBA for ESPN, tweets out there had been some simmering tension between Luka and Rick Carlisle that was a concern within the Mavs organization. The expectation was that he'd return next season, but he'd been on the hot seat. Well, it comes out, it seems like he left. And he's very close friends, even off the court, with Mark Cuban. So what does the simmering tension mean, other than maybe he just, I got to get out of here because this guy's important to this organization? Interesting. What I have right now is the Yankees starting lineup against the Blue Jays tonight. I know that Don's excited. Today's Yankees starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. DJ LeMahieu at first leads off. Aaron Judge in right, bat second. Hitting third, the shortstop, Gleyber Torres. Giancarlo Stanton, the DH, will clean up. Batting fifth, the catcher, Gary Sanchez. Giovanni Urshela at third base, bat sixth. Batting seventh, the center fielder, Brett Gardner. Miguel Andujar in left field will bat eighth. Batting ninth, and playing second base, it's Tyler Wade tonight. Tyler Wade as they sit down Odor. That's today's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Bigelow Tea, a proud supporter of the Michael Kay Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. So a couple of things to clean up. This is a tweet that we received to the show site, and it's from AJ Castillo.
Okay.
You ready for this, Peter?
Don
LaGreca is a piece of blank for his Yankee hate. Mantle didn't hit 500-foot home runs, and he blanks on DiMaggio. Come on. I'm not listening to the show for this BS, Don Bias, stupid nonsense. Then he sends another one. Go bleep yourself, Don, and I like you. That's how wrong you are.
Well, it's just an observation. And it's not anti-Yankee. I'm just saying, like, I was reading the Fenway Park book, right? This is years ago for the 100th anniversary. And they're talking about, like, four errors in an inning cost the game. And you think to yourself, do you know how many games were probably fixed at the turn of the century? Right? You have talk about, like, Ty Cobb throwing games. All. There was no replay. There was no – games weren't on television. It was just whoever happened to be there at the time. All of a sudden, like, four errors opened up a 10-run inning and cost them the game. Yeah, because there was probably guys on the take. And I gave examples about, like, there's allegations that Maurice Richard didn't have as many points as he had because there were times they just gave him points because he happened to be on the ice. There was nobody to replay and look and check. It was just some guy that's job was to write down the stats, probably somebody hired by the Canadians that did that. I'm just saying that when you go back that far.
Canadians? Okay. I missed it. I'm sorry.
That I'm just saying that you don't think it's possible during the 56-game hitting streak there might have been an error that they just gave him a hit, and who was going to say anything? The only people in the building were the 20,000 people that were in the building and a radio announcer, if the game even was on radio. Well, no television. I'm just saying that you wonder if it could happen today. We just take that stat that the ball hit the shoulder. It could have been an error. How many times do we hear that story, Michael, that there was a naked Babe Ruth running down the aisle of the train with a woman chasing after him with a knife, and one reporter said to another, "Too bad we can't write about that." It was that time. So Joe DiMaggio's one of the greatest players in the history of baseball. You don't think it's a logical observation that in 1941 that there might have been a couple of times, give him a hit. He's got a hitting streak going, that you could never get away with today? That's not Yankee hate. That's just talking about facts from a long time ago.
Yeah, but you do lean into your Yankee hate. It's sad.
What do you want me to do?
People
think this is a Yankee show and we're supposed to bow down. I'm sorry. Mickey Mantle never hit a ball 575 feet. Didn't happen. Can't happen.
But also, you guys got to stop thinking that at this stage in his life, Don LaGreca is so big a Mets fan that he truly hates the Yankees. You got to stop. In fact, I'm not even asking Don for permission. I'm going to say this. Don's a family man. He's taking care of twins. He makes money with the New York Yankees, to some degree at least, called the Yes Network. Nothing with the Mets. If he had to choose, he's taking the check.
Well, I'm
all
not
day.
A Yankee
he's a professional.
Fan.
No, but you're
but
not
do I
anti-
go out of my way
ridiculous.
To hate on the team?
Stop.
Well, you lost AJ Castillo. Well,
listen, AJ's got his issues.
He told you to go bleep yourself. That's
no,
what he said.
Listen, first of all, it's not physically possible. And second, he wouldn't have the possible guts to ever say that to my face.
Oh, I think he might. Anybody who tweets that.
Hey, I'm at the Garden for Ranger home games.
Do it.
Come and meet me and say it. He would not
right
say
to
it
his
to my
face.
There was no way he would ever say that to my face.
So if AJ comes up to you, right?
You have no guts!
And says that to you, what do you do?
I'd say, well, I guess I was wrong. But, you know, he sends a tweet to the account.
He
didn't even send it to me.
At
Don LaGreca. How hard is it to say at Don LaGreca? So that's weak sauce right there, right, Peter? He sends it to the TMKS account. At Don LaGreca, it's really
easy.
So he was initially afraid to confront me on social media.
Sad.
So is it that much of a leap to think he would never say it to my face? Michael, have a brother's back.
I would defend you at all turns. And because we got to take the heat off this issue, I think it's time to listen to this.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
Well, what a great response by Andrew. He didn't raise his voice, but he really undressed Peter in a very calm, deliberate way. Let's hear it again.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
It's gold is what
it is. It's one of the great... What I was doing was so stupid that Andrew had so many options of how to play it. Andrew, real quick, at what point in the read did you realize things were falling apart?
Well, I heard you mention Messi's goal.
But why didn't you jump in right then and save me?
I just didn't know if it was my place to jump in the middle of a paid advertisement to correct you.
For future reference, please just stop me next time.
Because Messi is Argentinian. He also would not be participating in the Euros.
Whoa, hold on. I already gave you credit. You got me, okay?
What about Ronaldo?
Ronaldo would have been a good answer. I'm aware that Messi is Argentinian, and I am not incorrect in saying that in Copa America, he had an amazing late goal the other day, correct?
Yeah, he scored against Chile the other day.
And I derailed a little bit.
You also, Andrew, you gave us a name during the bailout of Peter. What was that name of the player?
It's a Belgian striker named Romelu Lukaku. He's excellent. Great player.
Romelu Lukaku.
Awesome
Lukaku.
Name, yeah.
Now, really? Peter's response to Rick, that makes sense that you're watching Copa America and you confuse the two, right?
It's not. I mean, Andrew wouldn't do it, but for someone who's half in on soccer, yes, I think it's not.
I don't think what he – it sounded way worse than it actually was when you consider that Copa America is going on at the same time.
Well, it's only that it's called the European Championships. Continent is in the title of the tournament.
But it's also Euro 2020, and it's clearly 2021.
Okay,
so
exactly.
Kind of up in the air.
Thank you, Don. It's also very hard. They're playing last year's tournament like it's a time machine. So that's something. And also, Messi plays in he's Argentinian, but plays in Europe. And with all the different tournaments, sometimes I get confused. So I was like, oh yeah, was Messi playing in the Euros on his club team? Disaster.
Actually, you break it down, and Peter, I don't even think you have to feel bad. I would actually pull it from the drops.
No, I think you've got to be embarrassed.
Wait, Don, you now actually think I was
resigning.
Don actually now thinks I was right in retrospect.
Right, well, not right, but I don't think it was nearly as bad as it sounds.
Oh, thank it you, sounds awful. Anyway,
what a friend you are.
Here's the deal. When we get back, I'm going to do one of my favorite things. I'm going to ask Don, what would you do? Well, and it involves that. Family, and it involves a son. Things that are important to Don. And we're also giving away Islander tickets. That's right.
For tonight?
For game four. All right. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2x London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2x London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we've got those Game 4 Islander tickets to give away in a couple of minutes. This is for Don. Don has two children, one son, one daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from Mike Reese, covers the Patriots.
Oh, sure.
ESPN. The son of former NFL defensive lineman Vince Wilfork was arrested last month and charged with stealing more than $300,000 of his father's jewelry, including two New England Patriots Super Bowl championship rings, according to a police complaint in Texas. Police allege that Wilfork's son, DeAndre Holmes Wilfork, 23, sold the rings and other jewelry after stealing them. He was arrested May 22nd. According to the police complaint, Wilfork told authorities he did not report the jewelry missing or stolen immediately because he was unsure if he packed it in storage. On May 10th, he said he received an email from a lifelong Patriots fan informing him of a post in a memorabilia group saying that Super Bowl rings were for sale, his, which led to a filing of the police report. The person who posted that on the memorabilia group said that he had purchased them from Wilfork's son for $62,000 last year. Police also discovered that 8 other pieces of Wilfork's jewelry were sold in March 2020 for $4,600. Would you press charges against Marco if he did this?
Well, anything that I would do, it would be for his own good. Like, I wouldn't turn him in because I wanted him to be punished for taking, you know, my jewelry. But if I thought the prosecution would wake him up to get him out of whatever he's going through, yes. Like, if I'm at my wit's end, nothing I've done's worked for him, and I thought maybe incarceration might actually save his life, then yes, I'd turn him in. It wouldn't be for spite, Peter. It wouldn't be for revenge. It would be
just to save
trying to save my son's life.
And Michael, we obviously have to ask about you and Charlie.
Oh, I'd turn him in.
But for my reasons, or just because?
How desperate must a person be to steal from your dad?
Well, that's what I mean. You know, there must be something wrong, and obviously it didn't come out of the blue, so it's probably something he's been struggling with, whether it's drugs or something, that now you got to get him help.
Well, kid, let's just be fair for a second, though. Kids have been stealing from their parents since the dawn of time.
Not $300,000 worth of jewelry.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
I mean, if you take a $20 bill, I understand.
That's happened.
All right, so A.J. Castillo has returned fire. He said, thank you for reading my tweets on the air. I sent them to TMKS and Don's tweet address. Both. I'm not trying to get into a fight with anybody.
Poof!
Don's response was that of a bully. I like Don.
Why was it being a bully?
I hate Don.
Did you not read it? Do you want to read again the things he said to me?
No, he told you to go bleep yourself.
Right. So why am I the bully? What, because I have the audacity to defend myself? I wasn't bringing it up. I don't see it. I don't see it on my Twitter unless it was somebody that I muted or blocked a long time ago. I did not.
I see what you did. Yeah.
I don't see it. But you asked me, what would I do if he came up to me? I think you know, when people say all these things, would they say it to my face? He didn't even. And if he sent it to me, that's fine. That doesn't mean that he would say it to my face. Oh, I had an opinion about the Yankees, and all of a sudden I hate her and go bleep myself, and I'm the bully for defending myself?
You know what, Don? Best point you've ever made in your life.
It is interesting, and it's not just about Mr. Castillo. People think because you're a public figure like Don or Peter that you could say whatever you want to us. But if we answer back, we're bad people. We're supposed to be the piñata, you know, the little thing you hit in the backyard. Candy drops out, but it doesn't hit back. But sometimes people hit back. We're allowed to defend ourselves. And you know, the radio and TV columnists are like that, too. They say something, and if you strike back, oh, he's so thin-skinned. Okay, I own it. But I'm allowed to answer back if you criticize me. But I don't bleed. If you cut me, I don't bleed. I gush blood.
That's a very funny point, like, right? So he tells me to bleed myself. I defend myself, and I'm the bully.
Yep.
So in his mind, I'm not supposed to punch back.
No,
because I'm a public figure,
back.
That means you could say
yes.
Or do whatever you want to me, and then if I respond, then I'm the bad guy.
And it's not just Mr. Castillo. Everybody feels like that on Twitter. They could take any shot they want at anybody, but if that person takes a shot back, you're a loser. So I can do whatever I want to you, but if I answer back, I'm a loser, as I was telling Chrissy Teigen just the other day. Ma, can I use your iPad? I want to troll Michael K. Tony actually tweets, I would never turn in any of my kids. Even if they robbed a bank, I would drive them to the border if I had to.
Well, I understand that sentiment, right? But if there's clearly a problem here that has to be resolved, and I would think that maybe if he faced incarceration, that would be a last resort. That's my motivation for it. You know, but yeah, you want to protect your kids. I get that point. But are you really helping your child long term?
If you're hiding
them away.
All right, so they'll get into the Medellin cartel. I mean, why would you do that? or maybe Canada. I don't know what border you mean, but that's ridiculous. So your kids robbed a bank and you're going to protect them. They're bad people if they robbed the bank. You did a bad job. Own up, get rid of them. Right into a jail. Tough love. Hey, Islander fans, listen up.
I don't know what to say.
The Islanders are home against the Tampa Bay Lightning for Game 4 on Saturday night. 98.7 ESPN has your chance to be there. That's right. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN, and you'll score two tickets to Saturday's Game 4. It's all brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, an opportunity to win $250. Somebody's going to win $250. Somebody listening right now is going to win $250 just for listening. So outstanding entertainment, laughs, thought-provoking dialogue, tears.
Psychotic, the ramblings of a maniac.
Why would you indict yourself like that?
I'm talking about you.
These are the ramblings of a maniac.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
No, oh, that'll never get old. We'll be hearing that in March.
I got you, Peter.
Yeah. That is going to be a number one, two, or three seed.
That's a Canupo.
Is that now, real quick, is that a Peter region or an Andrew region?
No, that's a Peter region.
Yeah, that's, you know.
But the gold is Andrew's response.
But he's responding to you.
That's your draw, Peter.
Really? Okay. I don't mind.
Good, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, that's going to happen, and it's going to hang.
I'm just trying to fathom a world in which a child could commit a nonviolent crime against their parent, and the parent would send them to jail.
See ya!
I mean, it's one thing if the child attacks, you know, one of the parents.
The woman who called said, if my kids robbed a bank, I don't think the kids just came in and go, by the way, can we have $3 million? They held the gun up.
But you understand the point I'm making, Peter, about what happened to Wolfork. I mean, sometimes it's the best thing that could happen.
Tough love, baby. Make them part of a documentary. Make money off them yourself.
Jail's tough, guys. Jail's tough.
Well, then, you know what? Because jail is tough, you shouldn't commit a crime. And somebody who is Vince Wilfork's son, I don't think he's living in abject poverty. Vince Wilfork made a lot of money. So that means one thing, not a good guy.
What if he's just a Jets fan?
You know what? I'm not going to answer you today. You know what? I wouldn't even mind if you took the rest of the show off.
Please, don't tempt me.
Let Andrew do ENN. Most people prefer it, including Don.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
How is it possible that we are an hour and 8 minutes away from a game and the Toronto Blue Jays don't have a lineup? How is it? How is it allowed by Major League Baseball? I don't get it.
It's wrong.
It is wrong. I'm trying to do work here. Anyway, let's bring in the great Chris Carlin. Love having him on. Chris, how you doing?
I'm great. I'm just assuming that they traded for Aaron Judge and they don't know if he's going to play tonight.
No, he's in the Yankee lineup, so that's not a work. Okay. I don't know if you heard this earlier. I know you consume the show, but you work a lot. So you probably took a nap. Did you hear this?
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
Everybody's got the same reaction.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's fantastic.
Isn't it great?
Oh, my God.
Does it tell you all you need to know about him?
Honestly, don't even. I mean, that is so much better than Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds.
Is it?
I mean, it is.
Could be.
I think, wrap it up. It's like right now I am making the Vince Carter it's over gesture after that dunk. I mean, it's over.
Wow. You mean that was that hand? Was that like arm on the rim?
Hand across the neck. See ya. Good night, everybody.
All right.
I think you have just wrapped it up.
What's on your mind today?
Quite a bit. Andrew and I were just discussing that Sixer loss last night and how disastrous that was.
Good times.
It's not fair.
Yeah, I feel for him. That's he's had his share, and that's a tough one.
How do you think, because you worked in Philadelphia sports radio, how do you think today was for them?
I think today was, well, for the hosts themselves, I'm sure it was fantastic. For everybody else, it was as bad as could be. And listen, we used to joke when I was there, the Sixers were still at the end of the process, so to speak. When Ben Simmons was sitting out his entire first year because he had a $5 million bonus from Nike. And if he came back halfway through, he would get a $5 million bonus from Nike if he won Rookie of the Year. And he could have come back a little more than halfway through his first year, and he didn't because he wasn't going to win Rookie of the Year.
Wow. That so he tells waited you something about him.
Year. Yeah. I mean, it tells me
a lot.
You're
not a fan. I've been listening to you all week. You're not a fan of his.
It's just I get frustrated with people that don't want to attack their weaknesses. And Andrew and I were talking about this before. You can't have a point guard in this league who is as bad from the free throw line, even a 60% shooter, but goes 4-for-14 in a game like last night. He doesn't feel like a big game player. He feels like a guy that is incredibly talented and just picks up all of his numbers in regular season games that just don't matter enough.
I love when you're this hot. This is yeah. great. Yeah,
I'm always this hot.
That sounded so weird.
And that's spelled H-A-W-T.
Now, what show are you doing tomorrow?
All of them.
All of them. It's only a matter of time.
I will be tomorrow morning hosting Greeny from 10 to noon here on 98.7 ESPN.
Sure.
Okay. I will be doing that. Sitting in for Michael. Then at 12 noon, I will be sitting in for Alan Hahn on Bart and Hahn on 98.7 ESPN. And then tomorrow night at 6:30, I will be sitting in for Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
By the way,
three and a half hour affair.
So that's I meant to tell you this. What time does Greeny start?
10 a.m.
10.
So can you fill in for Laura tomorrow on Ebro in the morning?
Done.
All right. So
I mean, I basically have to leave the house at about the same time.
So perfect. So you come in, do fill in for Laura's spot, do the flashing lights tonight. Make sure you read all the like hip hop stories, and we'll get you in there in the morning.
Yeah. Do I have to say cookies?
You have to. Well, no, you can just eat cookies.
Oh, well, done.
It is. You know, we all love Greeny, and we never want to take a shot at Greeny. But
sure, we don't.
Now, so when he missed time for son's graduation, we understood.
Sure.
What are these days off for?
I got to tell you, radio is really simple when you don't have to do it.
You guys are unbelievable. Listen, I look at it this way. Opportunities for me. And as you know what? I
Nobody's
love
saying
me
the station is worse that because it's better. And more Carlin, as your wife was texting me the other day, more Carlin's the best.
That's true, especially when I'm not here. And it's weird to hear you say when your wife was texting me.
You know what, though? This is an important thing to remember, Chris. Mm. You can't win sixth man of the year when you're starting every game. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, what a good
Great point.
You know Lou Williams.
Because you're starting every night. So.
As you know.
Your family when they don't pay you money, but they pay you an opportunity.
Yes. 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 I've been paid an opportunity many times in my career. Many, many times. One. If you look at my house, you'd know that. The mortgage per month is, I think it's, they charge 3,000 opportunities per month.
And by the way, Michael, this is weird. They're actually using Chris so much these days, he's also filling in on the fan. That's what I find interesting.
No way, really?
Yeah. Well, if I was, I'm sure you'd read about it.
That's true.
Yeah, you wouldn't read about it. Chris's head could explode on the air here, and you wouldn't read about it.
But he sets foot down the street. I got news for you.
But
big article coming in.
If he passed any wind down the street, that'd be a back page story.
That's
especially in Newsday.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not worried. I'm not worried about it. What's that? Where? Who?
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations to Danny Roldan from Bayside, New York. Danny, go out and spend the $250 you just won.
Nice.
And spend it at a place that's been closed for a while and, you know, is opening up, and we want to support local businesses. We want you to get out, have a good time. We're giving away another $250 in the 2 o'clock hour tomorrow, but right at the top, and then another $250 in the 5 o'clock hour, and then at the 6 o'clock and 7 a.m. hour in DCR, boom.
I do have to say, you know, being over at the Seaport as much as I have, it has been great to be back in the city. Great to be
That's
back.
That's a long ride for you.
It is a drive, but it's a great energy. I'll walk there from the parking garage in the morning, and it's just everybody's up and about, everybody's out walking their dogs. It's great. And nobody's and masks are off. The energy is back.
No, it's pretty, I got to tell you, it happened in all this, after all this time, it happened in a second.
It really did.
In the last 48 hours, I was out to dinner last night, couldn't get a table anywhere. Like, I didn't make a reservation, couldn't sit down anywhere.
You didn't tweet asking for a reservation?
No.
He actually, these restaurants, Chris, he flew there on a private jet, still couldn't get in.
I don't worry.
I was going to tweet today about a chopper so I didn't have to drive so long.
Sue me!
I actually did
reach out to Jacob from Jacob's Pickles, but he didn't get back to me in time. So I just had to do a crazy thing, which is just walk into a restaurant.
Wow.
But it was nuts outside how hard it was to get a table. But it was nice, beautiful, no mask. On top of that, in the last 48 hours, you know, Natalie and I met during COVID. We've been around each other constantly. In the last 48 hours, we've both been back at jobs, out of the house. It just feels wild. It just happened overnight that things are open. It's almost a little weird. But
was there any kissing, during quarantine?
No, we waited for the vaccine.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you're a liar.
No.
I have a personal question to ask you, Christopher.
What else is new?
So when you drive to the seaport and you park, right, you obviously there's nothing cheap parking-wise in New York. Does ESPN pick up the parking?
I haven't asked, honestly. And actually, it's not that bad.
What is it?
$20.
That's not bad.
No, I mean, no. Listen, there are places around there it's $48, and I learned the hard way. But I haven't asked. I haven't asked.
No,
so you're just
I got
like laying the money out on your own?
Yeah, it's listen.
Opportunity.
No, I didn't have, trust me, I never got it taken care of at the other place.
Yeah, but
whenever
you're,
I drove
you're
in.
Keeping ESPN Radio afloat right now.
I don't know if I'd say that.
I would.
No. That's so sweet.
All right, go do your thing. Get ready for this big show at 6:30. Another Don sandwich for you because Don follows you at 7:30 with the Islander pregame.
Nobody
I like a
likes
lot of
any
guys.
Oh,
it's
going to be head to head. That one and what we just heard from Peter.
Now, one more time because I know you're going to need this, and I'm going to put it on your page so you
can I play this
play it during your show. Yeah, there you go.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
Chris, honest question. I have no bias on this. I just want your opinion.
Yeah.
Whose region does that go in for Drop Madness, mine or Andrew's?
Because of the rapidity with which Andrew responded, because it would have taken me a second to realize that Brazil was not in Europe. I'd put it in Andrew's.
No way. It's not a drop if it's not for Peter.
No, but it's fun. My being an idiot is funny, but do not underrate how straight-faced Andrew was with how he destroyed me. It was brilliant.
It was a brilliantly delivered line. Oh, that was gold. That was gold. What I do want to see is you up against yourself. That would be great.
Excuse me?
You up against yourself.
I heard you.
Boy, Eric just tweeted out, Carlin is a god in Geneva, New York. Women love him. Men want to be him.
Wow.
I live here, and we can't drive by Hobart and William Smith and not see the huge monument that is outside the fieldhouse. More Carlin, less Peter.
And that monument is of a drunk fat guy passed out.
It's a sumo culture. They pay by the pound there.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
all right, bye, Chris.
We
got to get to ENN. We have to break. Andrew's yelling at me right here on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
I love when you're this hot. This is great.
I'm always this hot.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.